The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 980. It's the 30th of January, 2018. On the podcast today, I have Miles Campion, Technical Director of Ferrum Crescent, that's FCR, and Miles discusses the significance of their maiden JORC resource for their Toral zinc lead silver deposit in the province of Leon, Spain. Plus, I also have Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications, talking about tertiary minerals, TYM, I3 Energy, I3E, Legendary Investments, LEG, and Custodian REIT, CREA. Plus, Simon Weisenberg, founder of PowToken, talks about their free cryptocurrency that has been claimed by over 250,000 people, and now they've upgraded their site and are receiving 10,000 claimants a day. And it's one of those things that, you know, it's free, doesn't cost a thing, doesn't cost one iota or penny to you. All you have to do is log in via Facebook or Twitter account, and they do that to stop bots claiming tokens, and you get some free token, and you can refer people. And if one of your friends, say, takes up the offer of getting some free tokens, you get some tokens as well. And it's based on, you know, the more people have it, the more value that's attained to this. So I think it's worth doing. I've done it. You never know, do you? It's a cryptocurrency. It could go bananas. Who knows? Plus, I also have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Miles Campion, Technical Director of Ferrum Crescent. That's FCR ticker. Miles, good to chat to you.
Morning, Justin. Nice to meet you.
Yes, and we haven't talked before on the podcast, and we're talking on some good news because you've done a maiden JORC resource and estimate, and we'll get to that in a bit. Before we do, yeah. Miles, like I do with every company that comes on the podcast, if someone's listening now and they're not quite sure what you do or they're brand new to invest in, can you sum up what Ferrum Crescent's all about, please?
Yeah, Ferrum's, we're Australian, AIM listed, and Johannesburg Stock Exchange listed at this point. European lead zinc explorer. We picked up an asset in Spain 18 months ago. I joined the board 3 months ago, 4 months ago, and realised the potential of the asset that Ferrum had. And in the last 3 or 4 months, we've worked very hard to A, get a JORC resource completed, and B, make some corporate changes as well to set the company up to go forward.
Yeah, okay. And I said that the RNS today's maiden lead zinc silver JORC mineral resource estimate for Toral project in Spain. Now, just looking at the figures, they're quite impressive, and it's looking almost double the size what it was on the last compliant resource. So you got 16 million tonnes at 6.9% zinc, and including lead credits, and 25 grams per tonne of silver. This is quite substantial, considering as well. I mean, I'm looking now, your market cap here is just under 4 million. So that's quite substantial, isn't it?
It is. It's a huge resource. I mean, it is a big jump above from what we had. But what I did when joining Ferrum was review a lot of the data, and there was an immense amount of data on this project going back to sort of the early 80s. Three campaigns of drilling, a lot of sort of 44,000 metres of drilling, a lot of assays. So a bit of stuff has been missed in the past, and that's what we've done over the last few months, is pull everything together. To give ourselves a JORC inferred resource, a maiden resource of 16 million tonnes. That 6.9% sort of equates to 1.2 million tonnes of metal in the ground, which is fantastic. And that's giving us a great platform from where we can go to now, which is going to further expand the footprint we've already got, both along strike and at depth. So it's a great result, and yep, as you said, we have a market cap of just under 4 million quid, or just over at the moment. So it's a big asset in the small company, And what we've got to do is prove to the market that it's a real asset, which we're doing with this first resource.
Yeah, and what I understand is that the market's up a little bit today on that, but nowhere near. I mean, it did open up quite strongly, double digits percentage-wise, but on the ASX, it's up 100% on this announcement. So I don't understand the discrepancy here, but I mean, let's just try and, you know, for people not aware of, you know, grades and sizes and stuff, how does this resource sort of compare with others in the market, Miles?
Yeah, I mean, it's our immediate peer group. There's probably three or four companies that we could look at that are either in Europe or elsewhere, but have a single asset lead zinc deposit. Mm-hmm. And what we've got is something that's 3 to 5 times larger than any of those immediate peers.
Wow.
In terms of tons, in terms of grade, we're exactly the same, if not better. So in terms of metal tons in the ground, we're streets ahead of the rest. But the one I'd like to talk about a little bit is in terms of geology and deposit style, what we've got is exactly the same as what Central Asian Metals bought last year.
Yeah,
they're an AIM-listed company. Late last year, they did a transaction on an operating mine called Sasa in Macedonia, which is a private mine. You know, comparing the two, that they have sort of 20 odd million tons, we've got 16 at this stage, but they've got a 6% grade, we've got a 7%, they've got 20 grams silver, we've got 24.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's the same style of deposit. It's a structurally hosted deposit, carbonate replacement. So in terms of what we have, very, very similar to theirs. The difference is they're mining. So,
yeah. So they're further along the development sort of curve there, but it's as similar as you can get sort of comparison wise. So how much? I mean, they bought that, did they?
They did. They bought it for I think the total transaction in October, November last year was $402 million.
there's a bit of discrepancy between that and your.
There's a huge discrepancy. I mean, that's where we'd like to be.
Yeah.
We've got work to do to make a mine, obviously. But what we've got right now is a resource that we can start looking further at for expansion possibilities. This thing's open to the east along strike. We've got a large tenement, you know, easily 1.5 to 2 km along strike that we can further explore. Also at depth, it's not closed off. The deepest it goes is 1,100 metres. But that there's a lot of work to do which we can do pretty quickly and pretty efficiently to increase the size of that resource.
Yeah, okay, good stuff. And I think you mentioned before Christmas in an RNS that silver could be brought back into the model, and you've done that. Can you explain the significance of this silver, please?
Yeah, it's a nice little fillip, really, to what we've got. So we've got a lot of zinc. We've got 670,000 tonnes of zinc, 540,000 tonnes of lead, which is a great start. But now we've got 13 million ounces of silver, which I recognised in the database was there. And we just needed to bring it in terms of verification through JORC, get everything done. And that took a little bit of time, but I'm very pleased that we've got it in. It's like, I don't know, you're sort of going to McDonald's and buying a cheeseburger and coming away with a quarter pounder. So it's excellent.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in terms of going forward for us with that sort of grade, 24 grams per ton, 25 grams per ton, that's about $10 a ton as a credit to your mining cost. So, in a mining situation, say a cost of $40 a ton, then $10 comes off the bottom line, which is fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely, excellent stuff. And just for people not aware, so what's the significance of getting a JORC, you know, standard here?
JORC's it's an Australian code, the Joint Ore Reserve Committee. It ranks high in the world in terms of confirmation of what you have in the ground. The other thing you can use is 43101, which is Canadian. So those two stand out as a marker for confidence in that you've got everything done right in both drilling, verification, assay work, quality assurance, quality control. And it's also done independently as well. So, we have obviously given the database to an independent consultant, and they've come up with that number and verified everything independently. They've been on site, taken check samples. So it's a great little tool to use.
Yeah, excellent. And like I said, you are new to the company. You've been here for 3 months, so I suppose it's pretty worth delving into your background a bit. So where have you come from, Miles, to be where you are today?
Well, despite the slight Aussie accent, I am from England. I was did a geology degree at Cardiff University, probably just down the road from you.
Yeah, where I used to
live. Yeah, and then went straight out to Australia, and I spent about 12 years over there as a geologist, working in the bush. I took a year back in London and did a master's in mineral exploration at the Royal School of Mines. And then after 12 years working as a geo, I made a move to the dark side and went into finance, where I spent the last 17 years in various roles, as an analyst on the banking side. But more recently, I ran a fund out of Perth for 7 years, a mining fund, which is a UK fund, but I ran it from Perth, which was it was great fun. So more recently, the last couple of years, obviously moved back to the UK and had the opportunity to look at Ferrum, and have got on board with this great asset we've now verified into a JORC resource.
Excellent stuff. All right, Miles. Well, on the podcast, every time someone comes on, I do ask to give three reasons why someone should hit that follow button and add you to the watch list. And I know you're new to this, but you're in no exception. So if someone's listening to this or likes the sound of this right now, but are not following the story, give them three quick reasons in sort of summary form as to why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
Yeah, I think the main reason is the resource we have and the valuation we currently have. Our resource ranks way above our immediate peer group in all aspects, tons, grade, metal content. But this is the start. We've now got that platform. We've utilised all the data possible. But there's quite a few bodies of work which we can do on this information that can easily add to the footprint we've got. Secondly, I think silver is a great addition, previously overlooked, but it's a great option for a future mining scenario in many ways. It gives us a bit of flexibility. Mm-hmm. And thirdly, I think the work I've done in terms of the review of the resource and the data is great, but Lawrence and myself, the other director of Ferrum, we're also restructuring the company, which we undertook starting in October last year. And we'll keep doing that to streamline the company and position it for the future.
Yeah, and I suppose it's worth saying, as you say, you're in a friendly jurisdiction there, which, I mean, a lot of companies are, you know, we have on the podcast, so they have excellent resources, but they're in jurisdictions not too friendly to the investor, you know. Or so it's always with a Miles. Listen, it's good.
Yeah, I mean, Spain's a great.
Go on, sorry, you broke up there.
Yeah, sorry, Spain's a great place to be. We've got a three-year mining exploration license which is stretching ahead of us, so it's a great place to be. We've got plenty of time to do it in. And it's a lovely place to go as well.
Excellent stuff. Good to chat to you, Miles. And like I said, you've got a lot going on there, so hopefully we'll chat again in the not-too-distant future.
Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. You all right, Al?
I'm fine, Jess. My cryptocurrency is safe. How's yours?
Yeah, mine's safe. Yeah. I think so. I haven't checked it.
Okay, you weren't a victim of that. The hack in Japan. Were you by any chance?
No, well, apparently they got warned that their security wasn't very good and needed to up their security before that happened. So, I don't know. You know, I know the big exchanges have been criticised because they're very busy and they take time. But I mean, at least they have decent security. You know.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, Coinbase is very good. I think we said before, it took me an age to open an account with Coinbase, but once it was opened, it's very good, very safe. And
I see people criticising it. Also, blockchain and .info is I'm on as well. I've got those two I start off with, and then, wallets they are, of course, and then on to the exchanges. But there we go. Okay, what are we chatting about stocks-wise, Al?
Okay, three stocks we just want to talk about and revisit i3 Energy, first of all. i3e is the epic code. Also want to talk about Legendary Investments. LEG is the epic code, easy one to remember. And to revisit Custodian Rights, CREI. But before we do that, just want to bring, we've of course discussed tertiary minerals on a number of occasions this year. You had the MD, Richard Clemmie, on a few weeks ago. There was an announcement at the end of last week that a Dr. Y. Alshamari has now increased his holding, now owns over 3% of the company. And we were talking about the upswing in the fluorspar market and investors positioning themselves strategically. And I think this is firm evidence of that. And of course, you know, Tertiary has sort of pushed on. It's now trading at about just over 2p, and there's with a market cap of about 10 million versus those fluorspar assets that are valued at over 4 billion. So exciting times ahead. Anyway, that's all I've got to say on that for now.
Yeah. So do you know what? I've on the weekend, I compiled. I thought, right, what I want to look at, because Tertiary obviously did very well. I jumped in there, managed to get in there before the big rise. But I want to look at small caps with big resources, because resources, as we know, you know, they're getting strong at the moment. Prices are starting to move up because the global economy is seems to be strong at the moment. So I asked the Twitterati, and fair play, a very good response, about 35 different companies. People come back and said, so sub 10 million market cap with big resources, because to me, their value is underpinned by that resource, especially if it's gaining, you know. And and Tertiary Minerals is on that list, and one of the biggest resources, actually. But there's quite a few others. And in fact, the next stock you're talking about is on that list as well, I think.
It is, yeah.
I3 Energy. Because their 10 million market cap, or just around about that. They had a nice rise, I think, yesterday. But they're still around about 10 million market cap. And anyway, I'll take it away. And because of this, do you know what? I did actually buy a few. I couldn't buy any, though, because they're very tightly held. I was looking at the share register, and they're very tightly held by the directors and everything. So anyway, take it away.
Well, they are. They are. Okay, so i3 Energy, we spoke about this last year. Now, fortuitously for me, I was a shareholder in Glenwick, and one of the spin-off investments that emerged from Glenwick was an investment into i3 Energy. So I have subsequently bought more, so I hold the stocks with that, and I subsequently added when the stock hit about 22 pence. So it's exciting indeed. We currently have a market cap of about 10 million. Brief overview and reminder to investors about what the company's about. Formed in 2014. And in 2016, it acquired the Liberator field license. That's an oil license. It's an oil exploration company in the North Sea. And it engaged OGA and Blake to develop the Liberator field. The management have always said they expect oil and oil to be produced in the first half of 2018. July last year, they raised $7.5 million. Neil Carson, ex-Ithaca Energy, and of course that was successfully sold on last year. He's the CEO. The estimated resource at the Liberator field, it's got a pre-tax value of about $328 million. Mm-hmm. They expect to produce something like 11 million barrels of oil per day. That's not right.
No, it's 10,000 barrels of oil, but yeah, I've got it. Yeah. So the resource is 12 million barrels, a 2P resource of 12 million barrels in place there. Yeah, and hopefully, they're saying if the financing they're going for, they're hoping to produce 10,000 barrels of oil per day. And I did the maths on this, and I look at their current, the cost per barrel is around about $25, right? Now, if we say oil is selling for $65, that's $40 a barrel profit, all in profit, pretty much, you know? And that works about $146 million for a year. And I'm thinking, profit, that is. So I'm thinking, their market cap is $10 million. Of course, it's a stumbling block over the financing, but it looks like they're moving this on, because they're chatting very positively about that, aren't they? And it's not there may be a bit of equity in there, but they suggest a lot of it is done via senior debt secured financing, and and there's other upsides here as well, isn't there? Because they've applied. Go on.
Well, they said that they applied to broaden their portfolio by bidding for acreage adjacent to the Liberator field, and they have an agreement with an investor to provide both cash and a net revenue sharing agreement from production from that field. And of course, the most recent announcement from the company is that City Financial Investment Company now holds just under 12% of the group. So, as you say, the stock is finally held. Management have always said that the financing documents are expected to be finalized in early 2018, and they're clearly well on track to do that, with oil sort of during the first half of the year as well. So yeah, at 10 million market cap, even sort of with the rise yesterday, we're still miles away from where this where this company could be, and you've got a really a team with a great track record of developing assets and selling them on. Neil Carson is the guy that of course develops Ithaca Energy and has a great track record. So this is a really exciting stock, and yeah, it could be a 10 bagger, but of course do your own research.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do you know what, the revenue here, and they may do a farm out, I think, or something, I don't know what's going on, but if you look at the revenue just on that field alone, so they've got 12 million barrels of 2P you know, resources there, and they say it could go up to 69 million barrels if they are awarded this the licensing round, the bit. But let's concentrate on that bit. So 10,000 barrels a day, even if they make $10 profit on each of these, which doesn't seem like the case, it'll be almost three times that.
It'll be more than that.
Yeah, the revenue from that, even just 10... the revenue. I worked this out. So 10,000 barrels a day, okay? I did the maths while I'm here. Times what? $60 equals, let's say, 300 days a year. So the revenue of that will be, I've done it wrong, but it's literally, it does, it's multiples of their market cap. And I'm just thinking, this is one of those things. Do you know what happened to Independent Resources, where you went up like 600% in one day? This is the kind of thing, if they'd land this deal and also get that other thing, this is the kind of thing that's going to happen, because I think it's just going to be bananas, you know?
Well, it is, yeah. That's the thing. It's structured in such a way, the infrastructure's in place for this to absolutely explode. And I think, you know, the company have always said that they'll sort out financing. Financing will be completed sort of early 2018. And so far, they've ticked every box. And since the company came to market last year, they've done everything they said they'd do. And that's also a great sign, too. It shows that management are fully in control, and they fully expect to deliver. And I think, as you say, one day we'll turn around and find the stock has literally blasted through the ceiling and 300-400% in one day, maybe more.
Yeah, because I just looked at the revenue, sorry. So if 10,000 barrels a day, you know, $65 a barrel for 300 days a year, so there's 50 days not producing for, $195 million of revenue, that is. Now, they're a 10 million market cap. that is nuts. And also, what you've got in the background here is the oil price is strengthening, you know, and it seems like, and I've read a report yesterday from SP Angel email saying that there's a lot of hedge funds very bullish on oil. Very bullish.
I think
if they're going through this financing deal, that it's always handy to have the commodity dealing is strengthening in price as you're doing it, because it becomes a commodity where no one wants to, somewhere everyone's trying to get a bit of, you know, a bit of action in there. So it always helps in the discussion. So anyway.
Well, yeah. Along with tertiary, you've got that
in
the fluorspar price and strategic investors recognizing that. Obviously, the POSL deal was landmark last year for them. But again, these are companies with assets in commodities, which are, as you say, strengthening value, and there's little sign of that changing this year. So, yeah, they get the I3 Energy get the financing completed in place, move towards production. This is going to absolutely explode.
Yeah.
But, do your own research, investors.
Do your own research. I mean, we say it's going to explode. You never know. But I'm just thinking, you know, this looks good. Like I said, you know, when you get a strengthening commodity price, it transforms the economics of the deal there. Okay, what else are you chatting about, Al?
Okay, it's a company that in another life I was introduced to some years ago called Legendary Investments. So the Epic code is LEG, LEG.
I know, yeah.
So it's easy one to remember. Currently worth about 4 million quid. The shares have been as high as 0.3p on the year, as low as 0.1p. Currently trading at 0.1125p. So the company, as the name implies, is an investment company, and they have it's run by Zafar Karim, who the CEO. He's former Rothschilds, so he's been involved in finance and corporate banking all his life, along with Thomas Reuner, who's ex-IDC, Gartner and KPMG. So, again, another finance guy involved in accounting. And the interesting thing is they had this a really broad and diverse set of investments. They're invested into Amadeus Resources, which is a resource and energy infrastructure company listed on AIM. Buskers Energeticos, which is a Mexican Mexican biodiesel company, Manus Resources, which has gold assets in Kyrgyzstan, Medgold, a company that has gold assets across Portugal and Serbia. But probably the most interesting one that folks are focused on at the moment is a company called Virtual Stock Holdings, which is an unlisted company that provides IT and Internet of Things, and it provides services and different resources to companies and individuals like Bear Grylls, Tesco, NHS, Maplin's, and they have just announced today, a contract with Wincanton, the logistics and distribution company, and of course Wincanton have a vast number of clients. Which they can network into. Now, last year, a company called Notion Capital invested $4.5 million into a virtual stock at a $66 million valuation. It's now estimated that company's virtual stock itself is moving towards $240 million broker valuation, and Legendary Investments currently have a 7% stake in the company. So you can see with that sort of valuation against virtual stock, Legendary, even with a 7% stake. That valuation potentially is going to hit the Legendary bottom line at some point. Again, just to demonstrate the diversity of investments, they also have a 12% stake in IBS, which is a New Zealand-based banking and IT systems company, which enables them to it gives them a stake in developing financial infrastructure and IT in that region, which to date has been relatively underdeveloped compared to other parts of the world. They're also invested into the CrowdFrangels crowdfunding platform, which obviously gives them access to a wide range of investments that have been channeled through that particular area. At the interims, the recent interims, they announced assets of $5.5 million with £126,000 worth of cash in the bank, and an interim net profit of $248,000 versus a loss previously of $142,000. So, this is by virtue of its diverse spread of investments, this company I think is really worth a closer look, particularly on the basis of the virtual stock investment that they hold, 7% in a company which has valuation rapidly moving towards $240 million, and I believe that for virtual stock they are considering a move towards a NASDAQ listing as the next step for them. So exciting times.
Yeah, I'm just reading about virtual stock there. I don't understand how they do it, but it says a virtual stock provides a range of digital supply chain and marketplace solutions, enabling retailers to easily and cost effectively expand their online product range without the need to carry additional stock. Well, how does that work then? It's just virtual. I don't understand how that works, but I mean, it sounds...
It's the Internet of Things, isn't it? It's connectivity I have to say I've not done a detailed drill down into what virtual stock do, but clearly with the developments and the contracts they're signing and the latest contract with Wincanton, they've got something which very few other companies have. So and if this company gets away to NASDAQ with a 7% list with 7% stake and potential $240 million valuation, then Legendary look very well placed to see some growth this year.
Yeah, I will tell you what, it's magic. That's how they do that. It must be just swear magic. You get more stock, but it's not really there, but it is there. If you want it, it's there, but it's not really. But it can be.
But it can be. That's right, yes. Indeed. Yeah.
Excellent. What else? Anything else out of it?
Just one more for you. Just want to update on the company we spoke about last year. This is, and again, you know, we're trying to sort of offer as broad a range of ideas to listeners as possible. A company called Custodian Right, and the epicode is CREI. And I saw this company last year at a Shares Magazine presentation. Was very impressed with what the CEO had to say. And this isn't, you know, this isn't sort of exciting, you know, 10-bagger, 50-bagger in investing. This is steady income investing, but if you want exposure to UK property and you believe that the London property prices, London commercial property is overheated, then this could be the company for you. what Custodian Right do, they invest in diversified UK real estate. They have a sub 10 million investment strategy. So each of the investments outside of town is 10 million or less. So they'll invest in places like Bolton, Glasgow, and places that in industrial estates and units that are perhaps outside the normal thinking for a decent return on property investments. But Custodian Right have a great track record. They have a 5.5% 5.5% dividend yield, and they believe that they have a 6.5% prospective dividend yield in prospect going forward. The company currently has something like 140 properties and enjoys 98% occupancy, which is pretty good when you think about how volatile and how fickle the commercial property scene can be. So the company, when we spoke about it last, I think it was at about 120 pence. It's been as high as 123 pence on the year, as low as 103 pence. Currently worth 434 million, trading at 115p. So given the recent dip off in the share price, now might be a good time to get in and just hold this stock for dividend growth and a long-term yield.
Lovely. Well, it's a couple of massive sort of potential 10 baggers there, and also a sensible stock.
Stock. That's right. Yeah. So something for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. but I've got to say, I'm more excited by potential 10 packers.
yeah, me too. But you know, declaring interest again. I hold stock in I3 Investing. I'm looking at I3 Energy, obviously tertiary as well. I'm also looking at Legend Investments as well. I think that's a great opportunity. I'm not currently invested into Custodian Right, but if I were investing into a property stock, this is probably would be my first port of call.
I see. Okay. Well, nice. And as I said, you know, people, if you are listening, there's two stocks in there I own, actually, tertiary and I3. So that's why I'm quite, I like them, quite biased towards them, maybe. So do your own research, as we may be talking absolute rubbish. Some of these figures we talked about may have no basis in fact whatsoever. So please do your own research. And this is not investment advice, just information on which to base your research. Al, thanks for that very much. And we'll speak next week, fella.
Thank you, Just. Speak next week.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Simon Wisenberg, founder of POW Token. You all right, Simon?
Yeah, hi. How are you doing, Justin?
Good, thanks. Yes. Now, let's explain. POW Token, what's it all about? I mean, it's in the cryptocurrency space. We know it's very hot. There's not a day goes by without headlines now talking about cryptocurrencies. Some of them bad, some of them good. But so POW Token, explain it, please, Simon.
Okay. POW Token is a cryptocurrency. It's very similar to Bitcoin or Ethereum. It's a pure and simple currency. We describe ourselves as a cryptocurrency for the masses. So we make it simple and easy for the public at large and globally to obtain and hold some of this cryptocurrency. Indeed, we're making it so easy, we're giving it away to everybody on the planet. And we've been giving away POW Token now since the 3rd of October when we launched last year. We've given away around about 120 billion tokens so far, and we have over 250,000 users who have claimed our POW Tokens. Mm-hmm. And we're going to continue giving away POW Tokens to everyone in the world until we've given away to 1 billion users.
All right. To date, I mean, I'm looking on the site, and I've got to say, first of all, so you've updated the site, because I don't think you're expecting to get this much demand for it, because it was very slow, took several times to get on the site, but now you can get this powtoken.com, and the good thing is, very clever little device here. If you click there and log in, and you log in via Facebook, and this is a stop through bots, is it, Simon? Why do people need to log in using Facebook or Twitter?
So we're not trying to gather people's data, or we're not collecting data for advertising purposes or marketing purposes. It is so that we don't get multiple claimants, if you like, defrauding us. So we're happy to give away an allocation of POW to everybody in the world, but we really only want people to have one free claim, or in our case, actually, it's two free claims. You can claim once with your Facebook account, and you can claim a second time with your Twitter account.
Yeah, but you can also, like I said... if once you have claimed, you've got a special link you can send out to your friends, and when if they claim, you get some as well, don't you? So it's a nice little referral sort of payment kind of thing.
Yeah, and this is the point. You know, we think that the value of any currency is the network of its users. So the larger the network of people who hold and use a currency, the more valuable the more useful that currency becomes, because the more people you can exchange it with, and therefore the more valuable that currency becomes. So therefore the most valuable currency at the moment that we all are aware of is the US dollar, because it has trillions of people around the world who use it. Mm-hmm. But you have cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Ethereum, which Bitcoin is currently valued at about $300 billion. And we think it's got probably about something like 10 million users so far. So that would value Bitcoin at around about $30,000 per user. If we take on 1 billion users over the next few years at POW by giving it away, we might also have a valuation of some in the region of $2,000 to $3,000 per user, and that would make everybody who's claimed their free currency extremely wealthy.
Yeah, well, do you know what? That's it. I mean, yesterday someone, I did send out the link on Twitter, and someone said, I don't really get this. What's the point of it? I said, well, it's free. I said, it's a no-risk investment. I mean, the only issue that people have, I could see, was, like you said, they had a login with Facebook. And I explained that it's not data capture here. They're doing it to avoid bots, you know, because there's a lot of bots in the cryptocurrency space that, you know, so clever sort of Russian hackers and that will set these bots up and claim millions and millions of tokens if they could. But so to avoid that. But also, it's the translation from going from, you know, how will you create value? I'm looking at mine now, and I'm looking that's apparently my tokens that I've got, because I started quite early, you came on straight away, and I claimed straight away. And so the tokens I've got are worth $1,600. How is that? How are they worth $1,600? Because that's, to me, that's the best investment I've ever made. I haven't spent anything on it. They're worth £1,600. But how is it worth that? I don't understand.
Okay, so we have a version of POW on the blockchain, on the Ethereum blockchain. The technical term is the ERC20 POW, which is POW on the blockchain. And it's trading on exchange. So there are people in the market on an exchange called Ether Delta who are buying and selling that currency right now, and they're trading it. And because they're buying and selling the currency, it has a price. It has a value. And the valuation of your POW in your account is based on the current price that POW is trading at in the market.
Yeah. Okay. And so where will it go from here? What's the next stage to, like you said, the more people that use this, the more valuable it becomes. So is it just a case of just getting the word out there, getting more people using it, getting more people exchanging it, or what?
Exactly that. We're giving everybody a free allocation. And all they have to do is come to the site, click login with Facebook or login with Twitter, and they'll get their free allocation. But once they've got their free allocation, it's in their interest to tell their friends, because the more people who join and claim their free POW, the more valuable the POW will become, and therefore the more valuable their holding of POW will become.
Mm-hmm. And as far as, apart from getting it out there and spreading the word, are there any other sort of developments here for POW that milestones you want to hit?
Yeah, so look, we, you know, we've been recently taking on, we had some tech issues and performance issues with our site. So it meant that because of the weight of claims that we were getting, obviously we're giving away free currency. So you'd expect it, you'd expect with an attractive offer like that, you know, millions of people coming to our site. Anyhow, you know, we were struggling to cope with the demand. But we've now taken on some more development resource. And, you know, the site is working efficiently. So we're now taking on about 10,000 new claims every day. But we anticipate with the new developments that we should be able to get to 100,000 or more claims per day in the next month or two. You know, with that growth in claimants and growth in numbers, we also expect that the value of the price of POW to start rising. And what we should get at that point is a virtuous circle. So as the number of claims grows, you'll see speculators in the market buying POW, so the price of POW will rise. And as the price of POW rises, obviously the offer that, of collecting some free POW is more attractive. And so the more attractive the offer becomes, the more claims we get, and it's a self-perpetuating model.
Yeah. I don't know how it works with exchanges. So what exchange are you on, and how do you get hosted on different exchanges? How does that work?
So that's just a question of us listing on a number of exchanges. We're currently on Ether Delta is the main exchange where POW is traded. We're also on IDEX, IDEX, and we will be on an exchange that's just coming to the market soon called Trade.io. You know, there are plans to launch on other exchanges. So some of the exchanges that people will be aware of might be Binance or Poloniex or Kraken. They'll you know, we hope to be listed on those exchanges in the coming months. And we'll also be adding functionality to our users. So at the moment, you can transfer your POW Lite between your Facebook friends. Mm-hmm. But over the next few months, we'll be adding the functionality so that you can transfer POW Lite to your Twitter followers. And also, we plan to enable users to transfer POW Lite to an email address or even to a Twitter handle. And so really making it very simple and easy for our POW holders to use the currency and transfer it between their friends or anybody they'd like to send the currency to.
Marvellous stuff. Well, Si, sounds very exciting. And like I said, I'm holding mine because it's one of the things. And normally I say to people, you know, when we talk about companies on the podcast, I do say, please do your own research. It's not investment advice. But I'd say, this is sort of investment advice because it costs you nothing. So, you know, but like I said, in fact, I've got to say it's not investment advice. But I think as far as safe investments are concerned, you know, how risky can this be? It's free.
You can't lose. That's the point.
I know. So apparently mine are worth $1,600 already. So $600. So there we are. And,
it's just begun. You know, that's the point. Yeah. So it's pick up your POW. Tell your friends and watch your investment grow. That's what we say.
Marvellous stuff. Thank you very much, Simon. And hopefully next time you come on, my holding would be worth a lot more. And if it gets that, I should think about it, to sort of, you know, sort of paying you in some way or giving you something back, you know, or something to... Maybe I'll buy a holiday for you. If they become worth a dollar each, those POW, I'll definitely, you know, treat you to a holiday.
I'd be delighted for you. And look, to be honest with you, that's the wonderful thing about this. You know, we're all, you know, we all want the value to rise. And the more people we tell, we're actually, you know, we'll all benefit. You know, I've got a holding, you've got a holding. And the more people we tell, the better off we're going to be.
Exactly. Marvellous. Good to chat to you, and hopefully speak again soon.
All right, thank you, Justin.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Vast Resources, VAST. At four, Ferrum Crescent, I spoke to Miles earlier, that's FCR. At three, Jersey Oil and Gas, JOG. At two, i3 Energy, i3E. Do you know what? I did start buying this yesterday after it was submitted for my spreadsheet. When I did small, I've done a spreadsheet of small caps with big resources. And this was on there. I thought, that is unbelievable. 10 million market cap with 12 million barrels of 2P resources. And they're looking to produce around 10,000 barrels a day at the end of this year. That's what, like I said, I talked about it with Alan on the podcast, but I did have to buy some. I found it very hard because the stock is locked up with directors. You know, it's held. About 80% of the stock is held by, in, you know, sticky hands, basically. And the most followed company on Vox Markets the last 24 hours is ARC Minerals, ARCM. Of course, it's the old Ortac Resources. Okay, top five most liked RNSs on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours are at five, Jangada Mines, appointment of joint broker. At four, Ferrum Crescent, maiden JORC mineral resource estimate. Miles talked about that. At three, Vast Resources, notice of general meeting. At two, Strategic Minerals, director exercises 15 million 30th of June 2018 options. And at one, the most liked RNS was yesterday afternoon from Fast Forward Innovations, investee company update, Nevera. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hear the intriguing stories behind some of the world's best love songs in the FT's Life of a Song podcast. From soul to funk, to punk to jazz. Discover how classic songs like Smells Like Teen Spirit, Yesterday, and Stairway to Heaven were born. Search online or listen at ft.com/podcasts. Plus, don't miss the new Life of a Song book, featuring a compilation of 50 songs that have appeared in FT weekend columns. Pick up your copy from Amazon, your local bookshop, or give a gift to someone who'd enjoy this brilliant literary mixtape.